The following is a production of Central Christian Center and Pastor Hank DeLott.
Praise you, Lord. That name is so powerful that every knee has to bow its knee to that name of Jesus. Every name of every sickness. Who in here fighting a sickness today? Just raise your hand. Battle. Maybe it's a back. We've got several backs. Raise your hand. Hold it up high. Hold it up high. Somebody go to them. Quick. I'm going here so y'all find your own. Here's a couple. Hurry. Somebody, quick. I didn't say pray. I said you just go. Go to them. Are you there? Has everybody got somebody? Over here. Who else? Come on. Somebody, several back here. Come on, move. Hurry. Who else? Somebody got Dan here? Who else? Who are we missing? Don't let anybody around you. Somebody's right behind you. Now, you just lay your hands on them. This name of Jesus is so powerful. Don't even pray. He said, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You just lay your hands on them right now. Lay your hands on them. He's the one that makes you recover. He's the one that makes you recover. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Do you receive that? If you receive your healing, receive it. Receive it. Dorothy, did anybody lay hands on you? Okay. Come on, hey, when God moves like that and we say do something, you need to jump and go do it, okay? If He's going to do something, man, He's going to do it. Thank you, Jesus, for all the healings, all the recovery that you just caused to happen. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. I want to read you something out of Luke chapter 14. Man, I had all kinds of things I was going to say, and God gets to moving, and I just forget about all this stuff. I guess it was just nonsense. I didn't need to say it after all. So, how many of y'all know, you already know everything I was going to say? Come on. Okay, then I don't need to say it then. Take a breath. Look at the person next to you and say, it's all right. Healers in the house, don't leave here sick today. Don't leave here sick today. Don't leave here with your need not met today. Whatever that need is, don't leave here. Let me read you something out of Luke chapter 14. Says, when those who sat at the table with him heard these things, they said, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And then Jesus said to them, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you that you have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask to have me excused. Still another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. Then after a little bit, then the servant said, master, all this is done as you have commanded, and there's still room. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Holy Spirit, use me and let me say, clear my mind and let me say what's in Father's heart today. In your name, Jesus, amen. I want you to, now we all are familiar with this story, but I want you to see the urgency of the master. I want you to see the value, the importance of what he's saying. He wanted people, he wanted everybody to come to the dinner so much that he sent people back out three times. Said, go find some more. Go dig a little deeper. Go look in the neighborhoods where you didn't look before. Go look at the people that you never thought would come. Go look at the people that you don't even think can come. Go tell them all to come in because it's ready for them. Now Jesus here is using this story to illustrate the marriage supper of the Lamb. Let me read you that in 19. Revelation chapter 19. Says, verse 5 says, then a voice came from the throne saying, now I want you to understand how the seriousness, the importance of what I'm going to say. A voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard it. I heard as it were the voices of great multitudes, as the sound of many waters and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to arrive in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he who said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. I want us just for a second to think about the seriousness of what's going on now. Where we are in life. Where the kingdom of God is. Where the body of Christ is. So sometimes we get so busy looking at the things that are affecting our lives around us, the temporal things that we're involved with right now, and I'm not saying we shouldn't be paying attention to them and we shouldn't be. You ought to be paying attention on making a living for your family. You ought to be paying attention on the things that your kids are getting involved in. You ought to be putting a place of importance on all the things in life that are affecting your life and your family's life. That's important. But sometimes we get so busy looking at that, we forget the bigger picture. Any minute now, we could hear the trump of God and we could hear him shout and we could see the heavens open and Jesus could come back and get us. Any minute now, that could happen for us. I just have been thinking about the urgency of the moment. Because I get so busy thinking about what kind of message can I give you that'll help you? And I want to help you and I'm going to keep doing that and God's going to keep helping you. But let's don't forget what this is all about. This is all about so that everybody can go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's easy to get so busy thinking about me that I don't think about all those that are lost. Huh? It's easy for me to get so busy thinking about me and us in here that we don't think about all those that are lost in the shuffle. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to wake me up in the middle of the night again, crying for those that are going to miss heaven. I'm asking him, stir my heart, stir my spirit, God. I've only got a few minutes left. Stir me, help me. Cause me to do what you want me to do. Cause me to see and realize the importance of this. Now trust me, I'm not trying to indicate that you don't think this is important, because you do. I told somebody yesterday morning at a meeting I was speaking at, and I said, man, I got the best people in the whole world. If you want to get the fire loved out of you, just come on over there and see them. Just get around them a little while. But I think that even though we know that and that is our purpose, I think that we still need to stir ourselves, and we still need to ask God to stir us and shake us and help us be more aware. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of getting to the end of the day and looking back at some of the opportunities I had and I didn't take full advantage of them, or I missed them. Now maybe you don't have that. If you don't have that, then it's because you're not taking notice at the end of the day. And I'm learning how not to beat myself up about it, because the past is the past. But I'm learning how to say, God, fix me so next time I don't miss that. I just want us to see the importance of this. I just want us to see God's heart. Let me read you something I was reading the other day out of Ezekiel. I know y'all probably just reading Ezekiel before you came to church this morning, wasn't you? Huh? Some of these books, man, I was reading along through here, and I got all the way to the 16th chapter, and I said, God, I don't know if I know anything I've read. You don't ever do that, do you? You're so smart and studious, and but I got to the 16th chapter, and actually I read half of it before it dawned on me what I was reading, and it's just the first part of the chapter is God's expressing, it's talking about God's love for Jerusalem. Let me just read it real quick, and we'll do this fast. It says, and the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. And say, thus saith the Lord God to Jerusalem, your birth and your nativity are from the land of Canaan. Your father was an Amorite, and your mother was a Hittite. For your nativity, on the day that you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed in water to cleanse you. You were not rubbed with salt, nor wrapped in swaddling clothes. No eyes pitied you to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on you. But you were thrown out into the open field when you yourself were loathed on the day that you were born. Oh, but listen to this verse 6. But, it's got an and, but I just read it as but. But when I passed by you, and saw you struggling in your own blood, I said to you, in your blood, live. Yes, I said to you, in your blood, live. I made you thrive like a plant in the field, and you grew and mature and became very beautiful. Your breasts were formed and your hair grew, but you were naked and bare. Oh, but when I passed by you again and looked upon you, indeed, your time was the time of love. So I spread my wings over you and covered your nakedness. Yes, I swore an oath to you and entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine. I don't always read a lot of things in the Old Testament that move me. And I told you, I was reading through Ezekiel, and I was just reading because I know I had to read the book of Ezekiel to get through with the Bible. You don't ever do that. But then this grabbed a hold of me. And he said, what I heard was, I know he was talking to Jerusalem, but what I saw was his heart. And what I heard him say is, Hank, When you were lost, when you were in your mess, when your life was all destroyed, when your heart was broken, when you had no hope, when you had nothing to look forward to, when nobody cared about you, when nobody had compassion for you, when nobody would help you, I passed by you. I looked over and I saw you. When you were in that condition, Hank, I looked over at you and I raised you up. I helped you grow. I helped you mature. I covered you with my wings. I protected you. I covered your nakedness. When nobody cared about you, Hank, I looked over and I saw you and I cared about you. While you were in your broken condition, while you were in your pitiful condition, while you were in that horrible pit, I reached down and picked you up out of that miry clay. And I put your feet on solid ground. And I put a new song in your heart, in your mouth. I put a new praise for God in your heart. And everybody began to look at you and know who your God was. Excuse me, I didn't mean to get so loud, but I just want us to feel the heart of God for a minute. Because I wonder how many out here don't know that. Don't know that there's a God that feels that way about them. How many people do we come in contact with every day that have no hope? Their life's broken. They need somebody to throw out a lifeline to them. And there's only one lifeline that can lift anybody up and let it be lasting and genuine, and His name is Jesus. I'm going to try not to get too emotional, but man, this is emotional to me. We're seeing people every day. I want you to hear God's heart. God's heart is, Hank, Corey, whatever your name is, everybody you see, everybody you come in contact with, they need to know what I did for them. Would you tell them? Would you show them? Would you be a lifeline to them? Everybody we see, everybody we know needs to come in contact with this Jesus that we know, that saved us. Sometimes we get to thinking we're pretty sharp and we're pretty good, and we look at some of them that aren't as well off as us or aren't with as spiritual as us with the Lord, and we seem to look down at them, but we need to understand that's the way I was when Jesus passed by and looked at me. That's the way I was when my father said, we got to give him a lifeline. We got to give her a lifeline. We got to help them. We got to get our people back. We got to do it. And Jesus said, I'll go. I'll do it. Second Peter 3:9 says, the Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Everybody say all. Somebody told me the other day, said, Hank, you can't get everybody saved. And I said, don't tell me that, because I think I can. I think we can get all to come to repentance. Thank you for the patty cake, but I think we can get all to come to repentance. If you're the one here that needs a lifeline, you wish everybody would cheer and tell you about this lifeline. not judge you and be critical of you and look down their nose at you, but love you and have compassion on you and help you just like somebody helped them. It goes on here and he says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are therein will be burned up. Folks, that isn't just a little fairy tale. In case you haven't been watching the news and paying attention to what's going on in the world, I want you to understand we're at that threshold now. I'm running out of time. I'm running out of time. I need somebody to help me. I got to reach some people. I can't do it all by myself. I need somebody to help me reach some people. We're running out of time. Some people I love are going to get caught up in this time. And it's therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be, Hank, in your conduct and your conversation? What are you ought to be doing, Hank? Looking for and hastening to the coming day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Oh, nevertheless we, oh, here's a good part. Nevertheless we, nevertheless me, huh? According to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. All this stuff's going to happen. I'm going to be okay. If you got Jesus in your heart, you're going to be okay. If you're living for the Lord, you're going to be okay. So if we know we're okay, then maybe we ought to care about those that aren't okay. I just want you to understand, he gave everything he could give. He gave all he had to get me back. He gave everything to get you. That's how important, that's how valuable you are. He paid a price that no one else could pay. And then he said, Hank, all you got to do is receive it. He didn't say I had to get out here and slave for 20 hours a day. He didn't say I had to get everything in my life straightened out. How many know that would be good? If you did, not me, you. Huh? How many been working on this thing a while? I've been working on this thing for 46 years. And some days I think that there's still more things messed up than got fixed up. None of you are that way, are you? Every time I get everything squared away, Corey, he peels back another layer. And I go, ooh, that's ugly. I didn't know that was in there. I didn't really mean to get so dramatic, but I guess I did, because I asked the Holy Spirit to use me. I asked the Holy Spirit to stir our hearts. But you got to know God. God paid an awesome, terrific price for us, but not just for us. It said he loved the whole world so much. And he didn't wait for us to get it all straightened out and didn't wait for us to get it all fixed. He saw us in our pitiful, hopeless condition, and he did it. He said, now will you just receive it? Look at me. Now will you just receive it? But then he asked everybody that believed it, how many believe it? He asked everybody that believed it to go tell people. Matthew 28, he said, and Jesus came and spoke to them, to the disciples, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples out of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And I love the when Mark records it at the end of Mark, in verse 20, he says, and they went out. Jesus said it, and they went. Jesus said, go, and they were found going. He said, go tell everybody about me, and they were going telling everybody about me. And it says, and the Lord working with them, he confirmed the words that they were saying through accompanying signs and wonders. You see, that's why some of you just got healed a while ago. It wasn't because Hank had a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. It wasn't because of anything else. It was because he did the work. It wasn't because of whoever laid hands on you. It was because he did it. And I'll just be honest with you. He's been talking to me about this, and I'm going to talk about healing and miracles and stuff after we get done with Roundup here. But first, we're going to see a bunch of miracles. We're going to see some today, anybody who received that. But we're going to see some next week. And then we're going to talk about them. But he said, Hank, I didn't tell you to pray and rub and all that stuff. He said, I just said, if you lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. And so I just started laying hands on people. And I just go, Lord, I'm just releasing whatever it is in me. And I'm just releasing this. But you're the one that said they'll recover. So I'm doing my part, and you'll do your part. I don't have to feel it. Huh? I don't have to have visions of it. I mean, it's great if all these things happen, but I don't have to do that. I just have to do what it says. So are you sick? Then you see somebody sick? Don't call a prayer meeting. Don't call down here and get them on the prayer list. That's okay if you do that after you do what he said to do. He said, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Then call down here and put so-and-so on the prayer list because they're recovering. Well, can't preach that sermon today, but he said, will you just go out and tell them? Hank, will you just go tell them I'm their hope? Will you just go tell them I'll heal their bodies? Will you just go tell them? Will you just go tell them that I will do it if they'll just receive it? They'll just let me. Can you go tell them I'll put their life back together? Go tell them I'll mend that broken heart if they'll just trust me. If they'll just put their just receive, extend themselves towards me, I'll do it in their life. Will you just go tell them, Hank? Will you just go tell them? See. See, Hank's so busy wondering how he's going to do it and wondering what he's going to do and wondering what exactly do I have to do to get this to happen and watching all the faith healers and then trying to do like they do. But he said, Hank, I just said lay hands on them and they'll recover. I got a haste in here, but a man came down here about 4 weeks ago or 5 weeks ago, and is after the service, and I'm talking to people. You know how it gets, and I'll be honest. When I get done here, and you come down and you talk to me about these heavy things, I probably don't remember what you're saying by the time I get to the car, because man, when you quit and the adrenaline stops running, the anointing stops, then you're just kind of fuzzy brained. I'll try to remember. But he came and he said, and he stood right here and he said, Pastor, he said, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost and I want to speak in tongues. And I go, well, okay, why don't you? And I went ahead and started talking to people. And then all of a sudden in my spirit, something said, you know, hold it, you're not paying attention here to what you're supposed to be paying attention to. I mean, no, we're all guilty of that. Me more than you. And I just stopped and I turned to him and I said, now what do you want? And he said, I just want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and I want to talk in tongues. And I said, well, why don't you? He said, well, I can't. And so I explained a few little things. I said, every time you've asked God, I said, you felt something in here and it was trying to get out of there. And I said, you just turned it off. I said, you turned your mind on and you just turned this off, what was trying to happen. I said, the next time you feel that inside of you, I said, just let it come out of your mouth. Don't worry with your brain how it sounds or how it is. Just let it come out of your mouth and don't worry about the rest. You might sound like a chicken. You might sound like an idiot. It doesn't matter. Just let it come out of your innermost being. And he said, Pastor, that makes sense. I said, then okay, then receive it. And I put my hand on his chest and I said, there he is. And this man just looked at me and started going, Hallelujah. I'm sitting there and I'm going, God, that was awful easy. He said, I didn't tell you to fill people with the Spirit. I said I would fill them with the Spirit. But you see why it happened? Because he wanted it. He was going after it. He wanted it. He wasn't going to settle for anything less. And I'll be honest, I turned to five or six people. And I said, did you see what just happened here? And they go, huh? No? Huh? I said, did you see what just happened here? And they said, what? I said, did you see what just happened here? And people were standing all around us and nobody saw it. And I almost missed it. Well, let's get back to the message. He said, will you just go tell everybody? When he sent the 12 out, and it's recorded in Matthew 10, he said, he told them when he went, he said, freely you have received, now freely go give. So I just started telling people about this free gift that belongs to them. See, now stay with me, because I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know. I'm not telling you anything that you haven't known in the past and that you haven't done in the past. I'm not telling you anything that your own spirit, a voice down in there, has already been telling you. I'm not telling you anything. I'm just confirming it and reminding some of you. Right? I mean, you don't have to have somebody stand up here and tell you what to do. You got a Holy Spirit living inside of you, and he's telling you, he's leading you, and he's guiding you into all truth. He's telling you what the Father's heart is. We just need to pay attention. And so my message should just be to cause you to pay attention or to think about this or to think about that. Does that make sense? We want to do anything to get closer to God, to please him more, except for the one main thing that he told us to do. Huh? We want to study so our faith is stronger. How many know that's important? I talked to somebody the other day and they said, we got a group, we're studying the Greek and the Hebrew. I said, well, great. How many know that it's great to study the Greek and the Hebrew? How many love it when Frank teaches us something and he's talking and he knows what some of these words mean and he knows what some of this background is and he's able to throw that, man, it just makes me sit up at attention. Doesn't it, you? And all that's good and I do it and I want to do more, but we're doing everything in the world. But what he said was the most important. He said, Hank, go tell them. Go tell somebody about me. Let that soak in. Oh, but I'm the part of this group and I'm part of that group and we've got a life group going and we got this and I'm at church every Sunday and go tell them, Hank. Go tell them. See, there are people in your world that aren't in other people's world. There are people that are in your world, in your environment, on your job, in your family, in your neighborhood, are the ones that you can tell. Won't do anything and everything except Well, I just don't know what to. You know the most. We read about him using in Ezekiel the illustration of a baby being born. How many know one of the most exciting things? How many remember when you had a child born or a grandchild born or you was with somebody and they had a baby born and you were just all depressed and discouraged, weren't you? Said, oh, them old little old things, those ugly little old babies. No. You look, excitement, joy gripped your heart, excitement gripped your life. You were shouting and hollering and whooping and you know, I've never been in the hospital when a baby was born and people were discouraged. They were all happy. They were all excited. You know what the Bible says heaven does when one person gets born again? Says, oh, heaven breaks out in rejoicing. The angels sing. They're having a parade. They're marching. They're hollering. They're whooping. Because you got born again. You want to know what will bring a church to life? When some people in a church start getting some other people born again. And they want to get baptized. And they want to join the church. And they want to get involved. And they want to pay their tithes. But the two elements that'll really get it hopping is somebody getting saved and somebody getting baptized. I'm telling you what, the life of God shows up, the excitement of God shows up. New birth. New birth. And that is the thing the enemy fights in us the most. He makes us feel self-conscious. He makes us feel unworthy. He makes us feel unable to, inadequate, you know, and all the rest of those big words. And I'll make one up here pretty quick, probably. I asked Greg Wago, I said, is quickly a word? I said, you guys hand out the stuff quickly? He said, I don't know, but you made up. What was the one you said I made up last week? Was speedily, speedily, speedily. Huh? Lazily. Well, that's kind of like bigly. I mean, we can make them up if we want to. Let me tell you something. You don't have to do the work. You just have to tell them. You can't save them. You can't get them under conviction. Nothing you say is cute enough to make them want it. Nothing you say is powerful enough to make them do it. That's the Holy Spirit's job. When Jesus left, he said, I'm going to send one back to live in you. He said, he'll give you the power to be a witness. In Joplin and Webb City and Carterville and Neosho and Miami and See, I don't have to get you saved. I just have to tell you how. I don't have to get you under conviction. I just have to tell you about Jesus. And when the Holy Spirit starts working, stuff will happen. You know why churches die? And you know why we have died at certain times in our lives? Is because we forget who's doing the work. That's why you didn't get healed. That's why you didn't get the blessing you was looking for. That's why you didn't get what you was believing for. Because we're thinking about all this other stuff. Just like he just said, lay hands. He didn't say complicated with your rubbing and your talking and your praying and saying all the words right and getting that look on your face and trying to shoot lightning out of your fingers. He didn't say you had to feel it. He didn't say you had to do it. He didn't say it's up to you. He said, just tell them. See, I'm trying to make this so easy today that even I'll do it. Huh? You think I'm preaching to you or talking to you? I'm talking to me. Huh? Because I'm the one I see more than anybody else. Huh? I'm the one that talks to me more than anybody else. I'm the one I listen to more than anybody else. So I hope you get something out of it too, but I'm talking to me. I don't have to feel it. I don't have to do it. I don't have to do the Holy Spirit's job. And so now if you come ask me prayer for you, I'm just going to say yes. Well, when's he going to pray? You don't know what I'm thinking. I'm doing what he said. I'm laying hands on you. Lord, I'm laying hands on them. You said they'd recover. I didn't say it. I'm doing what you told me. You going to do what you told me? How many think God will do what he says? How many know he'll do what he says more often than we'll do what we say? Are you getting me? Are you getting me? Well, what if they don't get healed? That's not your business. See, we need to quit trying to do God's job. Now, he said, if I'll go tell them and tell them about him and tell them that he'll do the work, he'll work with me and confirm what I'm telling them with signs following me. Our trouble is we're trying to walk backwards and see the signs all the time. Yeah, you're going to trip and fall down too. Well, let me tell you a real quick story. Some of you have heard it. I read it years ago. It was a man named Peter Apple. And it was during the Confederate War. And if I remember right, it was the Battle of Gettysburg or Vicksburg. And this guy, Peter Apple, was just a simple country guy. Matter of fact, he was really a little slow. And when they taught the commands, the bugle commands, the only one he really could remember, the only one he really learned was the command for charge. And so they're in this battle, and the sergeant or the captain, whoever, blows the charge command with the bugle. Peter Apple knows what that bugle sound means, and so he takes off running. He runs across past the friendly line. He runs back out into the middle of no man's land. And somewhere in the process along in there, the captain saw that the battle is too great, and he blew the retreat command. But Peter Apple didn't know the retreat command. He just knew the charge command. So he kept running. He ran all across no man's land. He passed the enemy lines. He got back into the enemy's territory. He jumped down in the foxhole, and there was an enemy right in front of him. He knocked him out. He picked him up. He carried him back across the enemy lines. He carried him all the way across no man's land. He brought him back across the friendly lines. He jumped down in the foxhole and threw him down. And all the guys were in amazement. They said, where did you get him? He said, I got him over there across that field. He said, there's a whole bunch of them over there. He said, everybody can have one if you'll just go get them. Truth is, there's a whole bunch of unsaved people, backslidden people, hurting people. Their lives are all messed up. They have no hope. Their hearts are broken. There's a whole bunch of them out there. And every one of us can have one if we'll go get them. Well, I will give you the invitation in just a minute. But first, let me just say this. We have an opportunity next week. It is the easiest opportunity that we have all year long to tell people about Jesus and invite them to come to church. Because everybody will go eat free chili. Huh? But don't tell them to show up at noon. Tell them to show up at 10:30, because we're believing that everybody that comes through that door, God's going to do for their heart and their life what we've been talking about all service. Make sense? The easiest time we'll ever have, the easiest vehicle, the easiest tool we'll ever have to use to get people to come. Why are we doing it? So we have a big day? There's been some that's why we did it. And they kind of just fizzled. And we had a big day. But you know, it's no fun. It's no fun to have godliness if you don't have the power of Him. Huh? So we got a big day. So what can you do? Well, I just got a few things down. First off, Greg mentioned some areas to get involved in. Find you an area and get involved. But let me say this. Everybody here, everybody come with a smile. Look at the person next to you and smile. Come on. That ought to be enough to make you laugh. Everybody come with a smile. Come with a smile and come to greet people. Come to be friendly to people. Come to shake their hand. Come, I'm telling everybody out here, we got the friendliest people in the world. You come down there and they'll rub the fire out of you. Don't make me a liar. Huh? Come ready to love somebody. I promise you're gonna have fun. You're gonna get all the chili you could eat, but this isn't about you. This is about them. Okay? I got some people that I've been wanting to ask to come to church and I just knew they wouldn't come, but I think I can get them to come next week. Especially when I tell them I'm just gonna have a short sermon. And it's going to be a short sermon. But oh, is the power of God going to shake your tree? Huh? Say, what are you going to preach? I don't know yet. That's not my business. God will tell me what to preach. I just know He's going to shake our tree. That part's up to Him. Well, so come. And some of you might get here a little early and some might stay a little late, you know. Some will be here setting up before service, setting all the stuff up over there, the tables and stuff. And then after it's over, some of y'all just hang around and clean up. And that hadn't really been a problem the last few years, man. It's been cleaned up before everybody really gets gone because everybody just helped. James needs 10 people to help park. Who will be one of those 10? This is before service. You'll be able to be in service. Who'll help park? Who'll help him park? Now I got three. We're gonna stay here till pizza time if somebody don't. How many will help? Somebody will help. And if you can, if you're doing something else, you say, I'll try to find somebody to help him. We need at least 10 people. And parking, you won't be able to get in the Virginia side. You'll have to come in from the Pennsylvania side. So get that in your mind. And all the regular people, once you park away a little bit and leave all the parking you can for some of the visitors. Huh? Grunt something. We're about done. Okay. I just didn't know if anything's coming out of this thing or not. So we need some people to help park. And if you can't stay the whole time, just go help some. And we got 10 Life's Better With You t-shirts we're going to give to the first 10 people that show up to help James park. We're just going to give you those, okay? We already got them down in the office waiting for you. So will you do that? You don't have to be a guy. I'm sorry, you don't have to be a guy. I'm sorry, ladies, I left y'all out. Don't have to be a guy. He mentioned nurseries. We need some people in the nurseries. We mentioned cupcakes. Who brings some cupcakes? I'm going to bring 6 dozen. Man, I'm a cooking fool. Huh? I'm bringing 6 dozen. Because I just go over to Walmart and I say, would you have 6 dozen cupcakes measured? And Russell isn't here today, but he's going to make a ton of cookies, he said. So everybody jump in and help. Everybody jump in and help. But let me ask you something. How many will invite somebody? How many? That's what we've been talking about all morning, and that's all the hands I got. How many will help and how many invite some? I'm going to tell you what. How many know we've been praying and fasting and believing God? I'm believing God that when people just walk in that door, I'm expecting to see some people walk in that door and tears come in their eyes because of the conviction of the Lord is so hard and heavy on their heart. And they're feeling His love so tremendously that they just start crying. They won't even be able to wait for the altar call. You know, I already have people calling me up saying they're going to be here next week and they want to get saved and they want to get baptized. That's the truth. You know why they're doing that? Because some of you are praying. What will happen if we all get to praying? I'm going to tell you something. How many ask somebody to come? Now let me tell you, I'm going to tell you something real easy. Real easy, because we're praying and fasting and believing God. If everybody here will take 5 flyers, I didn't say 500, I said 5. If everybody here will take 5 flyers and you'll take them home and you'll pray over them, Lord, show me who to give these flyers to. You hearing me? Now you might want to give out, you want to give out more, and I say give out all you can. Charlie and Charles and the bunch gave out over 600 last week. So you might want to give away a bunch, but I'm asking everyone here to take 5 flyers and pray over them and pray like you're expecting God to do something in these 5 people's lives and say, Lord, show me 5 people that you want me to give this flyer to. How many think that might work? How many would do that? If He doesn't tell you nobody, keep the 5 flyers laying on your coffee table. But I can say that with assurance, because He's going to tell us somebody. Does that make sense? Isn't that easy? You don't even have to have rehearsals. You just say, here, this is something we got coming up next week, and man, I'd love for you to come. I'd just love for you to be a part. Man, we're going to have some special music, and we're going to have a short sermon, and we're going to have all the chili you can eat, and inflatables for the kids, and buggy rides, and a lot of fun stuff. But this is a flyer just about it. I'm just giving you this, and I'm praying and asking God to touch your heart. Does that make sense? So, well, Hank, what are you doing? I said, let's get God back in the picture. Huh? Let's get God back in the picture. He's standing there going, will you let me get involved? Will you let me get involved? Well, let me think about it. Have to have the right music. Have to have the right sermon. I'm going to tell you what, if God's moving, I can get up here and say, Mary had a little lamb, and people will run to the altar. Because He's God. He's God. Well, go on and on and on. Will you pray and fast this week and believe with me? Now you know what I'm believing for. How many will help me? Help me get this done. How many of us will help the Lord get this done? That sounds a lot better. Everybody stand. Is everybody okay? I didn't get too emotional or too whatever. Is there anybody here that I scared today? Did I scare anybody? I don't want to scare you. So that guy's got... Man, he's weird. We don't know what he... I don't want to scare you, man. Oh, but I want God to be big in your life.
Everybody here, say something with me. If you're here and you're not right with the Lord, you say this prayer, and if you say it and mean it, something will happen inside of you. Just say, Father, I love you. I want to be saved. I want to be rededicated. I want my fire stirred up. So I give you my life. I want to live it for you. But I need your help. So I'm trusting you to help me. Trusting you, God, to help me. I'm trusting you to save me. I'm making the choice to rededicate, and I'm trusting you to make it happen in me. I want to burn again, God. I'm trusting you to stir that fire up. Oh, I'm trusting you. Everybody say this, God, I'm just trusting you. Everybody didn't say that. Say, God, I'm just trusting you. Now everybody say it, God, I'm trusting you. Now, whatever it is that's been bothering you, and I'm losing my voice, aren't you glad? So I'll have to quit here. But whatever it is that's been bothering you, it's got a name. Depression, hurt, broken heart, sickness, cancer, deafness, blindness. Whatever I left out, it's got a name. But we just heard that there's a name above every name, and that every knee would bow its knee to that name. Every name would bow its knee to that name. Do you remember what the name is? So you're thinking about what it is? You got a name on it? Now when I count to three, I want you to say that name that's above the name of whatever it is that's tormenting you. Poverty, sickness, whatever it is, you think about that, and you, as much as you believe it, I want you to shout it that loud. I want you to shout the name of Jesus and watch it bow its knee today and this week. You believe that? One, two, three. Jesus! I speak His blessings on you today. If you need some of us to pray with you about something, come on down. We're here. If you want to be baptized today, we'll baptize you, whatever it is you need. Hey, I speak His blessings on you. Look at somebody next to you and say, Jesus is wonderful. We'll see you. Hopefully we see most of you tonight, 5:30 and 6 o'clock.